Thank you, Lord. All right, guys, this is going to be some parts in it you may not like. It's a serious matter. I don't really like it. I don't really like to have to bring it, but I'm going to bring it. It may not affect you personally, but it might. It'll be more towards the end of this. This is the Prophet's Corner. It's called the Old Guard Exodus. The Old Guard Exodus. Thank you, Lord. All right. When Jesus stepped up into his ministry on the earth, opposition began to be seen and the old guard began to speak out against him. Recently, the Lord has spoken to me about someone, and I will not disclose it at this time. I've documented it. I don't like to speak anything until it's happened, and then I can say, well, I documented this before it happened. Okay, it's for future reference. I want to make sure that I'm hearing correctly. As human vessels, we can miss it. We can, because we are prophesying in part, we're hearing in part. No one has it all. No one. I don't care who they say they are that they do, they're wrong. No one has it all. You have your lane. You have your area. And you just try to be as accurate as you can. I've spoken this before. It's coming through a human filter. So always keep that in the back of your mind, okay? Instead of just, that's a false prophet. Because that's what the church has done. No wonder there's not many prophets that want to speak out. Because they get rung out if they miss one word. Well, you said the wrong thee at the wrong time, so you're a false prophet. That does not make you a false prophet. A false prophet, someone that uses witchcraft and all of these things to manipulate and control people and do evil. Someone that brings a word and it may not have happened just exactly, but they had partial of it, but not all of it. That doesn't make them a false prophet. So we are part of each other's body. It's like saying to the hand, I don't want you anymore. I cut you off because you got a word wrong. Blah. We are a body, you know? Don't we kind of baby our bodies? Well, the body of Christ should be babying each other. We're a body. We're supposed to run to each other's aid, not attack each other. When a body attacks itself, we're in trouble, right? All right. That wasn't in here, but maybe it just needed to be said. All right. I have a couple of witnesses to it, but nonetheless, I will disclose it to you when it happens with my documentation. Okay? All right, the Lord spoke this to me a couple of days ago. It's called the 70-80 rule. Now, Danny's familiar with it, but I don't know if y'all are or not. What is the 70-80 rule? We're going to turn to Numbers chapter 13 and see where the 70-80 rule came. Most people, most Christians think, well, that's how long you have to live. At least 70 and 80 if you have the strength. But we're going to see that the 70-80 rule is actually a curse. All right. Had the Lord bring that up to me yesterday. And some of the finest teachers that I've ever known believed in it. You know? That's why we have to be careful that we don't adapt dogmas of, well, misinterpretation of Scripture. I mean, to me, that's a misinterpretation. One thing happens in the Bible, and so that's the way it is from here on out. No, it's for a certain group of people. All right, Numbers 13. This is after 40 years, but after they came out of Egypt. God had done all the miracles in Egypt. God had brought them through the Red Sea supernaturally. He had killed all the Egyptians, a horse and rider, you know, drowned in the sea. And so All right. They're coming to the place that God wanted to go in and take the land. See, this is all this trek was about, is to go to their promised land. All right. All right here. Start verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. Of those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now these are the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes, okay? And these were their names of the tribe of Reuben. I'm not going to read all of those. There's Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Ephraim, Benjamin, Zebulun, Joseph, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Gad. So these are the names of the tribes. Verse 17, And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. And see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad. And what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is. So they were scouts, right? Like military. Is that reconnaissance? Is that what they call that? I guess. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshi, and Talmi, the children of Anak, were. Those are the giants. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came into the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. So you'd think, giants do grow giant grapes. Yeah. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought them back unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. All right, chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt, or into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain. Let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly and of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. The Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? And I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a great nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, that thou goest before them by day in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is longsuffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. The Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men, he's talking about the leaders now here. Now all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them be provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. At the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up this evil report upon the land died in the plague, or by the plague, before the Lord. So they died right there. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up into the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. All right. Old guard attitudes. Right there, right here. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, bearing your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. O guard. Those that would not hear the Spirit of the Lord and adapt. They weren't following the Spirit. They were following what they had been come up in their whole life. All right. Becoming so comfortable in the old ways, there's no desire to move forward and follow the Holy Spirit. Very resistance, or has a lot of resistance against anything new, especially when it comes to religious traditions. All right. The power of God was no longer with them. That's why the old guard's going home. Because the power of God's no longer with them. They've finished their work. And they've accomplished what they're supposed to accomplish. And a lot of them are not going to change. We know some. You can argue till the sun goes down, up and down, day and night. They ain't going to change their mind. It's sad that we've gotten to the place that we are so steeped in tradition that we will not hear the voice of the Lord, and we will not move on. We will not follow His voice. The people of Jesus' day did that very thing. They called Him everything but what He was. Okay. Good programs, but no Holy Ghost power present. Worshiptainment for fillers. See, when you don't follow the Spirit, there's no power. And when there's no power, then you start filling in the gaps with other things so you're not embarrassed. God had to eradicate, first of all, those that were not okay with His plan out before they could move forward. They had to wait 40 years for every day that they were gone to spy out the land and came back with the evil report. They had to wait till they completely died out before they could even go in. You know, a lot of people think everything's going to be bam, it's all going to change, everything's going to be great. Well, that's not even realistic. We're going into a new dispensation, and it's going to take probably decades just for infrastructure. And for everything to begin to adapt to the new ways. It's not going to happen overnight. And to think so is not, that's not the right kind of thinking. The obedient ones had to wait. So, Lord, is that the story of our life? Well, however long it takes, it really doesn't matter. All right. The 40 years was a curse for disobedience. Do you see it the way I see it? It was a curse. It was not a precedent that was set. From now on, nobody can live past a certain age. And that's not what it is. This is Psalms 90:10, where this scripture is. God has never put an age limit on man. He put limits on them, but He didn't put limits on everyone. Right here, verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years, if by reason of strength they be 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. But people live and die by this rule. They get their mindsets into a certain thinking pattern, and you follow your mindset. After watching Facing the Giants so many times, when the young man didn't hit, wasn't able to kick the field goal and score points, he said, "Well, I knew I was going to miss it before I ever kicked it." And Dad said, well, you know, your mental, what you think is, you're always going to be action to that, what you're thinking. You're going to see repercussions. You're going to see the action to what you're thinking. So if you've heard that all your life and it's built into you, then probably that's probably what will happen to you. But I'm thinking, well, what about Moses? You know, Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his lifespan was shortened because he disobeyed God at Meribah or wherever it was, whenever he hit the rock twice instead of just once. And God said, well, you're not going to go in. But it said, even at 120, his eyes were not dim, nor his natural forces abated, for whatever that means to you. God took him up on the mountain, and I'm sure he wasn't wearing glasses or contacts, and he saw the land before him. His eye wasn't dim. I mean, in the days of Adam died 900 and something years old. Methuselah, the oldest living man in the Bible, 969. The millennial reign, we're going to revert back to that. It says, you know, a child. If a child was 100 years old or a person was 100 years old, they'd be thought to be a child in comparison to lifespan. I don't think man was not really ever supposed to die, right? Ever. Ever. What happened? Well, a snake showed up. And they believed the snake. We were not supposed to die, ever. And that's the way we're going to live on the earth forever. And we won't ever die. Satan has thwarted the plan of God for so long, but he's not going to win this time. He's not going to win this time. All right, let's go to 2 Samuel. I will give this to Gloria Copeland. She's written a book called Live Long and Live Strong or something like that. And she talks about people in our day living to be 145. And she says, well, you know, you can just live 78 if that's what you want. But she said, I think we can at least attain to what Moses got, 120. You know, at least there's trying to get people out of that traditional thinking pattern. See, we've been under the beast system that what do? They want to keep you old and decrepit. That's why you see so many geriatric commercials and all kinds of things and Social Security things is because they want to get you decrepit and die so they can take your Social Security away from you. But if you won't let them, they cannot do that to you. All right. 11. Now this is the story of, we'll just paraphrase it because it's the story of David. And as a king, he's supposed to go out to battle with his troops, but he decided to stay home. Well, he couldn't sleep one night, so he decides to go out and walk on his roof, and he sees a woman taking a bath. Well, he lusts after her and commands them to go get her and bring her, and he sleeps with her, and she conceives. Well, come to find out, she ends up being pregnant. So he connives to take out her husband, Uriah the Hittite, who was an honest and just man. He tried everything in the world to get him to go home and sleep with his wife. And he said, how can I do that when the troops are out here in the field? I ain't going to do that. That ain't the right thing to do. Well, anyway, they conspired together to put him in the front line and all retreat and killed him in cold blood. David lost his... That one thing is what caused David to die at 70. It was a grievous sin. It was about as bad as you could possibly go. So that curse, I guess, applied, right? Like I said, most people today think that's the norm, but it isn't. It was never supposed to be that way. But because of David had blood on his hands, did he repent? Yes, he did. And the child died. But he blessed him with Solomon. He was something else. Ended up being one of the biggest idolaters there ever was. 1,000 wives that turned his heart away from God. I tell you, if you start reading through the Old Covenant, you see just one after the other, one after the other, where Baal worship raises up what we're going through with today. You can call it what you want, put a fancier term on it. But the thing is, it's the same old thing happened in the garden over and over again. That's where we're sitting today, the same thing. Okay, Numbers 20. Well, that's the story. I'm not going to read it either. That's the story of Moses when he hit the rock twice and he lost being able to go into the promised land with the rest of the children of Israel. You know, God is a stickler for you sticking with his plan. I said, Lord, I want to follow your plan. I don't care if anybody else likes it. I want to follow you. I don't want to follow men. We spend all our life in churches following men. We've seen some of the office church messes and stuff. But you know, the Lord told us, he said, that's to your advantage because I've let you go to just about every kind of charismatic type of church and see just about every kind of out there and left field type of thing happen. That way you'll be aware of it and guard against it. So I could say it's a blessing. It was part of the training, I guess. So you won't do the same thing that they did. All right, now you can understand the change of the guards going forward. When Jesus stepped up on the scene, you began to see the opposition party, the old guard, accusing him. Here are some Pharisee attitudes that Jesus had to deal with. We're just going to look at a few. The first one's in Matthew. I can just hear him now. All right, verse 9 there, chapter 12. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then he saith to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, as like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. O guard, if you think it ain't going to happen, think again. I won't even go there. Sometimes just reading books, you can see the attitudes, I'll just say that, of Ogard. All right? Prove who you are. What right and authority do you have to do that? See, you didn't come up under them. Will God require the old guard to call you in on the carpet and demand that you prove who you are? Where do you get this information? The earth is flat. Are you prepared for that kind of questioning? Well, Jesus had a wit about him. The Holy Spirit always gave him what to speak, and it always dumbfounded them, and they couldn't say anything. All right. God, will he require the old guard to call us on the carpet? No, he won't. They're done. They are done. And if they're operating, they're operating in their flesh. When you're done, you're done. When the Spirit's no longer on you and moving through you and using you, it's time to step down. Save face. Honor the new guard. All right, Matthew 19. Kind of like with David and Saul, the same thing happened. Saul just got mad and tried to kill David for years. Because he was a has-been and a used-to-was. God said, I'm done with you. I've taken the anointing from you because you didn't obey me. Move out of the way. Somebody better than you is coming. It's exactly what he said to him, Samuel the prophet. And Samuel was afraid that Saul was going to kill him. Because he told him, you go make us go to the Jesse's house and do a sacrifice. Yeah, but if Saul finds out, he's going to kill me. Because he'd already killed all the prophet, the priest, and the because he gave the priest at that time gave David the sword and the ephod or whatever that he'd killed Goliath. And Saul found out about it and he killed all the prophets, or the priest, not the prophets, but the priest. I think except one escaped. He ran to David. He wasn't taking it very well. All right, Matthew 19, 3. The Pharisees came also unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. You see the heart of God here as opposed to the Pharisees and their hardness of heart. Yeah. Okay. Hardness of heart. Matthew 22. There's a bunch. I just picked out a few here. This is Matthew 22:15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Did you get that? Might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Nothing they could say about that. All right. Track or trip you up in your words. All right, go to John chapter 8. You know, it's probably best not to argue with anybody unless God gives you a word. All right. Be as wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove. All right, John 8, 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, and in the very act. I've always thought, where's the man? He's probably one of the Pharisees standing there ready to stone her. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. There are going to be a lot of people coming to us that have been in all kinds of lifestyles. We're here to give them the good news. Well, Jesus, he died for that sin. Well, he died for you. Cruel. Letter of the law. All right, Luke 7. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he should eat with them. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto them, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And she said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven thee. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. So he was making lots of enemies, wasn't he, as he was going about doing his ministry. Y'all may recognize some of these kind of behaviors, where you've been, places you've been, ministers you've listened to. Every once in a while I'll hear one saying certain things like that, and it rankles me. It really does. Just cruel. Just, you know, we've got it all, and nobody else got anything else, and you're never going to hear anything other than what we say. No, God sees, too, that His Word's going to come forth and His message is going to come forth. If he has to use a donkey to do it, you know? All right. Mark 3. Just keep in mind how I started this off, okay? This is about the old guard going home, the Exodus. Mark 3:1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, that he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. See, they don't have no power to cure anything, but they're jealous of someone that has the power of God working in them, and someone gets healed. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. When he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. But we have good programs. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Then it says Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples. Probably went away to pray. Okay, Lord, they're cooking up something against me. I need to know what you want me to do about it. All right, Mark 11. Well, let's start with 27 there. It says, and they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and scribes and the elders, and saying to him, by what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John as he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. He knew how to put them in their place, didn't he? Where are your credentials? What Bible college did you go to? Who did you train under? Have you heard those? I've heard those recently. Well, who are they? I remember it's been some years ago before we came into the house and we're doing what we've been doing. And it was a website. It was these people were prophets. But, well, we don't want just anybody coming here. You know, who they've been training under, who they've been said these very things. You know, the last time I read my Bible, it said God calls, not men. Not men. There's a reason John was alone out there in the wilderness. He's called of God. There's a reason Paul was on the backside of the desert, called of God. Not by the Pharisees of the day. All right. Jesus warned his disciples in Luke chapter 12. They were not in the Pharisee bunch. Jesus called them out away from their professions and their normal traditions, and he trained them, hands-on training. All right, 12:1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. It says our works are going to be burned up. What was of God will remain, but what's not of God will be burned up. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. Is that ether? Is that the where it's being contained? So we've heard that everything that's been said throughout history is contained in the ether, right up there with the firmament. It sounds reasonable that God would do something like that. He'd be the only one I'd believe it from. He heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear is in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Will you tell me how else are they doing it? Not the NSA. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell, yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you have more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Yeah. You think they will embrace us with open arms? The people will, I believe. Maybe not the leaders, but the people will. I'm just wanting you to be prepared for it. You have already been encountering these old guard personalities for a few years now, so be prepared. And this is the part that, to me, it's very disturbing, but I'm going to bring it. The Lord spoke to me, the COVID fallout. And I want Danny to share what the Lord gave you back and whenever it was. This was, I don't know when it was. Do you know when it was? What you said about the millions will die. Just tell them.
Well, when we first came back into the house over in Aloha, this is probably either
13,
we came
14.
Back in August of 2014, so it was probably in 2015 before we moved here. In between that time, we just started recording the things. In fact, I didn't even get this one. I think it's before I started even recording. I heard the Lord say to me one day, there's a tragedy coming to America. Millions will die. I had no idea what he was talking about. I asked him what it was, and I probably didn't take it as serious as like what I thought. I guess I thought I missed it. Now, since he said the last thing to me about the fake alien rescue, I took it a lot more serious. But anyway, now I know that what he was telling me that day was the COVID. It was coming.
Okay, so if that didn't get on the tape, back around 2015, the Lord said a tragedy was coming to America that would kill millions. Well, right now, as far as I know, there's at least 1 billion dead. And many injured. I don't know how many are injured. So this is I'm just going to give you my thoughts. I wrote them down so I get them right. I've been hearing on social media platforms that there's a 3 to 5 year window. So we're looking at the 3 year mark. And I called someone yesterday that follows Dr. Tenpenny, one of the frontline doctors. There's several of them that have done a lot of study on this and warn people about getting it and try to help them with taking different things to try to counteract what's in the shot and everything. But anyway, they're saying the 3 to 5 year window. In other words, fallout is like, it's a repercussion of an action. And it doesn't happen right up front, which many have died suddenly. And from what I understand, there were 3 shots. One was a kill shot, one was not so bad, and the other one was saline. So depending on what person, because if it had all been a kill shot, they would have known right up front what they were doing. And I know President Trump, theirs was a saline, because they at first the military was giving the shots. And so those first rounds probably was more saline, probably, but then he went out of office. So anyway, the Lord gave me this, while I was pondering this yesterday, he gave me this chapter in Revelation. Take with it what you will. It's a pretty scary chapter 9.
Mom, you said the 3-year mark, isn't that, do you mean from 2020?
Yeah, or 21, really when the mass vaccination started to present day. We're in 24. So within the next 2 years, if what these experts in their field are saying, because I guess this thing took some time, you know, unless it was a kill shot, it took some time to do what it's supposed to do.
Well, and plenty of people are now getting the boosters.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, a lot of people are getting the boosters, and it depends on the repercussions of it. The fallout depends on how many boosters you've had. All right, chapter 9. Move this bookmarker. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. I know this, that the ones that they show, it's pitiful, of the people that have been vaccine injured and what they're going through. Their lives are living hell. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Back when this all started, I wrote here corona with a question mark. Crowns. Corona. And they had hairs, the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. They had tails likened to scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. By the way, that's where CERN is. Yeah, that's the portal. All right. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw, see, we're in a different warfare. People think tanks and guns and missiles and all of these things. But this is a psyop. This is a different kind of warfare that we have never faced before. And I saw biological weapons, which that's what the COVID is. It's a biological weapon. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of iron and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issue out of the mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and their heads with them do they hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries, which we know the sorceries there is the pharmakia, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. All right. Here's some of my thoughts I wrote down. I remember listening to a lady doctor, I believe it was Dr. Tenpenny, that was examining a fovax under a microscope. And she said this organism, there was different weird-looking, creature-looking things, turned and looked at her like an acknowledgement. She said it. She liked to swallow her teeth. I mean, scared her so bad, like intelligence. I don't know. All right. I remember Cyril Brain showing photos of monster-looking figures with crowns on their heads. They were microscopic. You could see them under a microscope. I tried to find it later and I couldn't find it. I didn't listen to the rest of it because it creeped me out. I was like, oh dear God. When you think about 9 out of 10 people have probably gotten the jab, third part of mankind. It's real easy to look at Revelation and think it's all natural. Most men interpret it that way. But they don't understand there is a revelation coming from heaven about what's going to happen. And that doesn't mean the interpretation is an earthly temptation, you know, things that we know. Because before all this happened, just like you didn't recognize at the time what it could have been because you didn't have any reference point. Now, looking back, you say, yeah, now I see it. I see. That's what that was. But at the time, you didn't know. Hindsight's always better, you know? All right. Okay, I was reading the book of 2 Esdras. Esdras was an Old Testament prophet. I forget the time frame that he lived in, but God is speaking to him. And he said that in the end times, the ratio of the righteous versus the wicked is like a drop of water to a wave. I'm thinking, wow, a drop of water to a wave. So get ready. This wave, it's hitting the beaches. I believe this is what, tell me who it is, Oral Roberts saw in 2004. What he saw was airborne. And of course, someone always thinks, well, that's a missile. No. Bioweapon. Might just good to go back and listen to that and see if what he said made sense, because it never made sense to me. All right. Morticians have found from these that when they do an autopsy, they pull strings, looks like veins, all throughout the body. It's just like it's just infiltrated the whole body with all this network of veins and all kinds of stuff inside those that have taken it. I mean, they've shown them. It's gross. It's like a network of the Antichrist all through their being. Oh, Lord. All right, let me see what else. Like a total takeover. The best case scenario, in my opinion, is that those that have taken the jab, hopefully, in their ignorance, they got the saline, I hope. Now you can understand why they have cremated so many bodies. They wanted to hide what they were doing. But in my opinion, anyone that's gotten the jab, they better repent. That's all I know. Because I don't, you know, they've always told us, well, if you take the mark, there's no coming back. Well, I don't know that for sure, because I know the Lord's told us, even these deep state players, the heinous of the heinous, if they would call out to him at the last minute, he would pull them out of the fire. So if you come across somebody that's gotten the jab, we're going to have to start being a little bolder, not so we don't hurt anybody's feelings. As the Lord leads you, well, let's just pray right now, and let's just, you repent before God that you partook of this. You didn't know any better. All right. Considering Revelation 9, if someone has taken the jab, that their first step would be to repent of partaking of their sorceries, which is the pharmakia. That's what it is. It's the system of the Antichrist. It is my understanding from different ones that carry this information that anyone who has that gave an injection, a doctor, a nurse, etc., will be executed without excuse. Well, I didn't know. I was following orders. That's scary. I was just doing my job. It won't wash. We're going to have Nuremberg trials like you've never seen before. All right. The Lord continues. There's a sad time coming to America and the nations of the world. All nations have succumbed to Satan's wiles and devices, the Antichrist agenda. I said I would weed out of all my kingdom that which is offensive. This is part of the cleaning up operation. Many of the ones that have died suddenly or the died suddenly deaths are the old guard going home also. I'm raising up a new nation and new nations. Revelation 10. Is that it? Let's see. Yeah. Revelation chapter 10. And I saw another angel, or a mighty angel, come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. You know what I see here? I see Admiralty Law, and I see the Republic. Because all the nations of the world are going to follow the United States. They will be republics. We're no longer under the deep state demonic stronghold that we've been under. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, this EBS that's coming is going to disclose the truth, whether people want to hear it or not. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. I've heard that recently, talking about this new era that's coming. We won't know time. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, and he hath declared it to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went... Admiralty Law is law of the sea, if you don't know that. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Y'all, we've got the message. We have the message. This new era. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up, and in my mouth it was sweet as honey, and as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. Yeah, it's a hard message to deliver. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Does that fit or what? All right. One more thought. Our prayer should be that we pray that they will repent and that God can snatch their soul out of the fire. Most of them did what they did under coercion. And that will also result in a death penalty from the one who did it to them. pressured them, saying, if you don't take this, you're not going to have a job here any longer. God's not playing church. He never has, and he never will.